staying alive. That is what RMU men's hockey has been doing in the AHC playoffs, guys. We are back with Off the Pipes. I'm Matt Simkovic. Alongside me, boys, let's introduce ourselves.
I'm Michael Schuley.
And I'm Greg Sutton.
So, what are we talking about this week?
Well, this week, what we're going to be jumping into is not only the beginning of the AHC playoffs for Robert Morris Hockey, but also how they've performed in those first two series they've played. I guess I kind of gave it away for the first one, but the first two series they've played, they've been pretty successful, Matt.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one for sure. They have to be doing something right. They picked up, they got hot, coming off of another two-win weekend, this time 2-0. They etched out Holy Cross with Friday and Saturday nights. Mike, what were some things that you thought they did good, if you got a chance to look at them? And what are some things you thought they did not so good on the other side of that?
Well, here's the thing. This Robert Morris team, we saw it a little bit at the end of the regular season, and we've seen it pretty much a little bit through the playoffs here, and the defense is really starting to step it up. The problem with that big losing streak at the end of the season, with the exception of that RIT game that they lost 6-2, that I feel that we've talked about so many times on this show, the defense was playing well, but the offense wasn't playing well. And now the offense has started to come along, and they had a little bit of a hiccup in the Bentley series. Of course, RMU at home. They were the favorites in that series, did not get a bye this year. And they beat Bentley 3-1 in the first game. Defense was solid again, and the one Bentley goal was kind of a fluke goal. They threw the puck in front of the net, and it bounced off a stick or a skate or something and ended up going through the five hole of Francis Marat. But even that was at the tail end of the game. It was 2-0 at that point for the Colonials. Then they went on to add another empty netter afterwards. So the next two games of that Bentley series were really telling about how this team played. The second game, penalty trouble. The third, and they ended up losing 4-3. And the third game kind of looked very similar. There was a lot of penalty trouble. However, 5-on-5, Robert Morris was dominated. And for the first two periods of that game, they had the penalty trouble. But then after that, in the third period, Robert Morris just took over the game and dominated. Ended up pulling away with a 3-2 victory. And now, as you can see, with a 4-1 win on Friday night and a 5-1 win Saturday night, the Colonials, the defense continues to roll.
Yeah, that's very true. And coming off the regular season against Bentley, Robert Morris only won one game against Bentley during the regular season, tying the other one and losing the other two out of their four matchups. So for Robert Morris being able to change their mindset coming out of that regular season against opponents such as Bentley, and even just out of that last six-game stretch, to come back and win four out of the five games they've played in the postseason, it's a look back to what Robert Morris hockey is all about. And
yeah,
that's that defense.
I'm definitely with you guys there. Without a doubt, they've picked up their whole team's play, both ends of the ice, all three zones, all three periods. They really buckled down and got it together right when they had to against Holy Cross. Now, the next thing that I would like to talk about and get your guys' opinion on, Alex Bonje. He broke his ankle in game two, and within 2 minutes off the clock, early in the game, he broke his ankle and he's out for the rest of the season. That leaves a big hole to be filled in the Colonials' defense. What do you guys think if you're Schooley? Who do you move? What pieces do you move so you can still have that lockdown defense that Bonje knows and loves so well?
Well, I think it's certainly a problem. Of course, you're losing your captain. He missed a few games earlier in the season. There was a stretch where Bonje wasn't playing. And the defense really kind of struggled a little bit. It wasn't as good as it could have been. And you could clearly see there was a big improvement on the defensive end when he came back. And now that he's gone again, I'm not sure. I think they're going to have to obviously make some adjustments. They certainly have, I think, the depth on the defensive end to do it with a guy like Nick Jenny, of course, who's been playing well this year. Of course, Gantus, and who's the other one? I can't think of his name at the moment.
Israel
and Giles, of course. I think those are going to have to be your three. Those are your top three defensemen now that Bonche is out, but
I think they could still do it against Mercyhurst, who, of course, they play this Friday at 4:30. I've been saying it this whole year, really. I've said it on this show before. There's something about this team to where I really can't count them out. There's too much talent on offense. And with the way Francis Marat has been playing, has just been lights out.
Yeah, without a doubt, he has been absolutely on fire in this postseason. Obviously, in the last series, only letting up a total of 2 goals. You really can't praise him enough for that. I mean, as only a sophomore, Marat is standing on his head and being similar, playing similar to Matt Murray. I mean, if you look at him, his past 2 seasons here, we've gone to the finals. We've gone to the AHC finals. It's not like that was solely him, of course. He has the rest of a team. But with a hot hand in net, there's really nothing that you can do about it. And that's one of the worst things you can run into in playoff hockey. And I feel like Mercyhurst is up for a challenge whenever they go in and they fire some shots at him.
I hate to burst your bubble here, Matt, but Marat is a sophomore, so... Last year.
I said is this, well, no, the last, the, two, years, the last meaning, 2 years, meaning this year and last year.
Well, I mean, apologize they're not, for they're not in the final. They're not in the finals yet.
They're in the finals tournament.
Well,
they're in the
AHC final four, finals of course, weekend. Of course, 37 saves in the 5-1 win Saturday night. And then an additional 39 the game before that on Friday. In the Bentley series, he was solid again. And do we expect another solid performance against the Mercyhurst Lakers, Greg?
You have to expect that solid performance. It's the way they've been playing throughout the first 5 games of the postseason, only letting up that one loss against Bentley, who they struggled with all year. So moving into that tournament time against Mercyhurst coming up this weekend, this Friday, 2 days away. So they're mentally preparing at this point. They're in the mental prep stage. So, you definitely have to expect
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, Coach Greg. Thanks for letting us know what phases the team's in.
What's the phase they got to be in? They always got to be in the mental phase, as we should all know. But I definitely think we have to expect that type of performance out of not just Marat, but the entire team.
Well, certainly. And one person that has definitely stepped up and continued to play well this year, another sophomore, and it's Luke Lynch. And Lynch put up 6 points in 2 games this weekend. He was fantastic yet again. Matt, four points in that game Saturday night with two goals and two assists.
Yeah, Luke Lynch, having that leadership role as a sophomore, you can't make that face. He's on our first line. He's killing it in points. He's really leading the team. Whether it be by example or off the ice, he is leading the team, and he's proving it.
I wouldn't go that far. Certainly, he is a key.
He's a key.
I will agree with you. He
team.
Is a key
yeah.
contributor. Without Luke Lynch, this team, this Robert Morris team, is not the same. I don't know if he's necessarily the guy yet. I don't think you're ready to give him an A or the C yet. But
I said leadership role. I didn't say captain.
Brady Ferguson is continuing to produce. Back up to 46 points now. In 39 games played, Timmy Moore has been good. Alex Tonge, how about the goal he scored against? It was a shorthanded goal he scored against Bentley. Absolutely disgusting.
Filthy. Only word I can say to describe it is filthy.
And, of course, Lynch now 17 goals, tied for first on the team with Alex Tonge, 19 assists for 36 points. And Tonge has been very good. 17 goals, 26 assists, 43 points, second on the team in the category. And the big four for this team up front on offense now, with Moore, Lynch, Tonge, and Ferguson.
That's a big thing. We've been talking about these four the entire season, or at least the entire time that we've been on these past 6 weeks, it would be, past 6 or 7 weeks. And those are the four that keep coming to mind. We were really worried there for a little bit about Brady Ferguson and Luke Lynch not doing their usual thing.
Underperforming,
as you would say. But and now we're starting to see the good old Colonials that we all know and love.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you guys there. Next question, for me at least, what do we think? Obviously, we're playing Mercyhurst, a team that we have a rocky relationship with in the past. What do you guys think they need to do to get out of here and make another finals appearance?
I just think they need to continue to play how they've been playing the last few weeks. The offense has been very good, as we mentioned, and the defense has been arguably even better. They need to stay out of the box. The penalty kill is one thing that this team, they're a little bit shaky on. Obviously, no team wants to go down a man. But especially with a team like Mercyhurst, who has been scorching hot themselves. I believe they finished number one in points in the AHC during the regular season. And for the most part, every game that these two teams have played have been fairly close. Robert Morris, they split the series. The first two game series, they were both home and home series. It was back in December the 16th and the 17th. RMU won the first game 5-2, the second game 5-3. And then a couple weeks ago, about a month ago, in February, Mercyhurst won both, the first 2-1 and the second 3-2 in overtime. So they need to continue to get pucks into the back of the net, of course, something that they kind of struggled with in the last two games against the Lakers.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you there, but something I would like to point out is that the Lakers' scores against us have only been 1 and 2 goals and 3 goals. They have yet to score more than 3 goals against us. So what that means to me is that our defense and our goaltending is something that they struggle with. And at the same time, earlier, obviously, we beat them by 5. We put in 5 goals. And later in the season, we lost by 1 goal games, but only scoring 1 and 2 goals. So that just says that if our offense is hot, like they are now, granted, I don't know how Mercyhurst is doing. They might be on an equally hot streak, but if our offense is firing at full capacity, which I really think that now they are, especially after last weekend, I really think that there's not a team in the AHC that can really stop us. Obviously, that's if we continue, hopefully, if the team continues to plow forward at full steam ahead. And if they can continue this up, then if they can keep this up, then by all means, that's amazing. But if we're hot, there's not a team that scares me in the AHC semifinals right now.
And in all honesty, that team that would have scared me would have been Bentley. We've struggled against them all year, only winning one game.
Mine would have been RIT. Yeah, I wouldn't have trusted us against RIT in the playoffs.
But the thing is, those two games we lost to Mercyhurst there later in the season, on the 16th and 17th of February, those were in that stretch where Robin Morris wasn't looking too good in the offensive zone. They weren't being able to put the shots on net when they needed to, and they weren't also to be able to get the puck away from Francis Marant. Where those first two games, they were playing the hockey that they're playing now. Against Mercyhurst back in December. So I mean, right now we're seeing the good old the Colonials that we need to be seeing for postseason. And if I was worried about anything, it would have been that first round versus Bentley. After that slippery slope they fell down. I think they're probably going to look pretty good Friday against Mercyhurst.
You see, Greg, I'm going to have to politely disagree with what you just said. Actually, the first time they played Mercyhurst, they were on a very bad stretch of hockey. They had lost, what is this, 6 out of 8 games heading in, including 4 in a row, 2 to Bentley, 2 to, and then 2 to Penn State. But then they were able to go up to Erie, or win one, of course, on the beautiful Neville Island, as I always say, and then won all the way up in Erie. And then, of course, there was that bad stretch. They got beat 6-2 by RIT, then Mercyhurst rolled into town, and that was a really tough stretch of games at the end of the season for the Colonials.
Towards the tail end of the season, definitely some of the worst hockey that we've seen the Colonials play, but it was also some of the toughest hockey that their opponents
have
been
playing. They arguably went from playing their best stretch of hockey of the season up until now, I think. I think now is they're peaking at the right time,
which I think
has been something that this team is – I don't think we ever saw them at their peak until now. But that stretch of hockey, really, their best stretch of hockey started in December with those two wins against Mercyhurst. Then the Three Rivers Classic games, where they played excellent during those games, losing 2-1 to the number 11th ranked team at the time, Providence. And then they came out, they beat Niagara, then they beat Bentley and tied Bentley. Then they split with AIC, then they won 2 more against Sacred Heart, but then RIT rolled into town, and then Mercyhurst, and then Air Force. And we were like, all of a sudden, oh, this team isn't as good as we thought they were, but now they're starting to peak again.
And I wasn't saying that that was the best hockey they played, Mike. I mean, you might have misunderstood me for a second, but if I was worried about anything in this postseason, it would have been that first series against Bentley, and we made it out of there with one loss and the series under our belt. But now this weekend, they're going to head into that game against Mercyhurst, and even hopefully into that game, that final AHC game for the championship. The next day, the 17th, that Saturday. But the question I have to ask you guys, as coming out of the past couple weeks as Coach Schooley, what were you focusing on this past week of practice to make sure that they keep up the hockey that they've been playing?
A big thing for me would just be effort, especially in the playoffs. You don't want to see a team get comfortable. Think of an NHL-wise, think of Washington. They win the season, they get that first seed, they blow through the first round, and then second round they're out. You really don't want to let your team get comfortable, and I feel like that's something that Schooley has been doing that is really overlooked. Is they've if you follow them on social media, I know I have their Snapchat added, but I'll watch videos from their practice twice, three times a week of them out there just absolutely grinding, and they're still pushing themselves and they're still trying to get better, which is something that's phenomenal, because if you're not constantly evolving and getting better, then you're falling behind. Even if you're staying at the same level, you're falling behind because everyone else is pushing harder. So that's something that I really like to see, is they're still working. They know that they're not done yet, and they're keeping their work ethic progressing as far as what they're putting in behind the scenes, and it's paying off for them on the ice.
Well, I think they need to obviously continue what they're doing in that aspect, and I think they will continue to do that. But I think they also, one thing that they finally have kind of gotten this last stretch here throughout the playoffs is some some scoring, of course, from some people that you really hadn't expected from. Daniel Mantenuto has been solid. He had a point in the first game against, Holy Cross. He had a point in that 4-1 win. He had an assist. But he was very good in that series against Bentley, and I believe he ended up scoring the series deciding goal. And you know what? His play was so well that actually he started that game 3 on the faceoff dot instead of Ferguson, who's normally out there.
And guys, I think this is a great time to take a quick break, real quick, just for us to catch our breath and for you guys to be able to relax for a hot second. So when we come back, though, we'll have a whole nother lineup of a couple topics real quick with the last 10, 15 minutes we have in the show. And then we're going to delve into our predictions for the upcoming weekend with the game versus Mercyhurst and the possible game for the AHC championship. And so we will see you guys in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Off the Pipes. I'm Michael Schulley. Alongside me, Greg Sutton and Matt Simkovic. Guys, let's all hit up our keys to the game. Of course, now something I find a little bit odd, I don't know about you guys, but the first two rounds of the playoffs here in the AHC are three-game series. Not when you get to Rochester. It is one and done, do or die, one game. Is all you have? Are you going on to the championship?
Vegas, baby, where champions are made.
That's a crazy thing to think about, though. The first two rounds, the quarterfinals and then the semifinals. You would think those would be one game series. Yeah. And then you jump into like the do or die time for the last two games. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. But I don't get to make the schedule or the rules. So
it's Roch Vegas, baby. Every move is a gamble, and the stakes are upped even higher. Now, Craig, we're going to start with you. Do we go Greg, me, and then Matt?
We'll do that for our keys
to the game. All right. How do the Colonials beat the Mercyhurst Lakers in advance to the championship game, where they will either play, hypothetically, of course, Air Force or Canisius? Go.
Key one. There has to be a team contribution.
Multiple keys.
I'm going to get two or three keys, but key one is going to be team contribution. As we've seen, you can't rely on Ferguson and Lynch to do all the work up front. So that's going to be the first key. Everybody has to contribute like they have been the first two rounds of this tournament. Key number two, as we said, through that bad six-game stretch at the end of the regular season, they have to help Francis Marat in the defensive zone as much as possible, getting pucks out of there as fast as they can and not allowing the offense for the other team put as many shots on net as they have been. And key number three is they have to enforce their style of play, meaning that they have to use their ability that they have with Lynch and Ferguson to be able to put the pucks in the net. So I would just say what they've been doing so far in the postseason is the key to the championship in the AHC.
All right. My first key. Well, I do think you have some very good keys. I am going to disagree with one of them, though.
Why? It won't be the first one. It'll be my last one.
Key number one, they need to play inspired defense, I think. Their captain, Alex Bonche, he's out. He's done. I just think this defensive unit, what's left, they need to step up. They need to fill that gap. And, of course, Bonche is a rock on defense. He's a defensive defenseman. Israel could get out and skate around, kind of push the puck, move the offense. But I think it's going to come down to Gantus and Giles to really step up and lock it down on the defensive end. Power a little bit, too. He's had a phenomenal season from a guy who's, throughout his career, hasn't been the guy. But he's been very good this year. So I think they need to play inspired defense with Bonche out.
I like the word inspired, by the way. I like how you use that to describe the defense they need to play.
But they do.
You said you had more than one key, so let's keep rolling. I do have more than one key, actually.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Key number two.
Numero dos.
Stay out of the box. Stay out of the box. The penalty kill unit has kind of struggled. The Bentley series, that's what made it a series. They dominated 5-on-5 that series. I believe one of the goals...
They played 5-on-5 that Bentley series? I thought the whole series we were just shorthanded for that.
Pretty close.
I didn't know that we played 5-on-5 enough to dominate.
The penalty kill and taking penalties is something we've been discussing the entire time we've been on, and they just haven't quite gotten to it quite yet. But anyhow,
I'm with Mike though. It's a recurring problem. We've been talking about it, and they have yet to fix it. Obviously, head coach Derek Schooley isn't listening to Off the Pipes.
Why do you think I put it as my key?
Key number two.
Fair. Key number three. You said no star power. I'm saying star power. Your stars need to step up. You need Ferguson. You need Lynch. You need Timmy Moore. You need Tanj. And you need Francis Marat to lock things up. You need the top four, those big four, to really carry you on offense. I'd like to see more. I've been saying it for a while now. I'd like to see Michael Loria maybe contribute a little bit more. Maybe it'll happen, maybe not. Prokrusic has been very good in the playoffs. He had a couple penalties in the first game against Bentley in the first period, but actually that was the game they didn't call too many penalties. It was games two and three where RMU couldn't get out of the box. But, of course, a little bit of supporting cast scoring, but you need your big guys to step up in the big games and get you through to the championship. Matt, your keys.
My keys. Number one, something that I'm pretty sure no one on the Colonials roster knows about. Little shot at them to make them mad and fired up for the playoffs. Consistency. We need to play good. We need to keep it up. There's been too many streaks this year. It's been a streaky season, to say the least. We're either really good or we're really bad. There really hasn't been any mediocre hockey that we've played, and I would like to see them consistently ride out this hot stretch throughout the weekend and see what they can make of it. Key number two for me, it has to be responsibility. You know, your captain, your easily best defenseman is out right now. Someone has to step up and fill in that gap. Not one person, essentially, but you could assume that it's many people going to be stepping up. But honestly, that's something that they need to work on, is people need to step up and fill the holes in the lineup when they're there.
Absolutely, and I mean, defense isn't one person, unless it's an extremely hot goalie. And luckily, the Colonials have that right now with Francis Marat. However, it's a defensive unit. It starts with the pair back on defense, but it's the back checkers, the forwards really needing to get back check and clean up the loose pucks. If the biscuit's out there in front of the net, they need to get a stick to the puck first and win those battles, of course.
All right, Matt, one more question. Do you have a third key like the rest of us, or are you going to cut out short on two?
I do not. My keys are short, sweet, and to the point. I have two. Consistency and responsibility.
You can't even look at us and say they need to outscore the other team. Wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not giving no Greg Sutton advice here. They do need to go out and outscore the other team.
Didn't say they didn't have to, but anyhow, we're going to cut away from that real quick.
They do have to. That's how you win.
That's what I was – never mind. Whatever. Anyhow,
he tried.
Let's jump to my favorite part of the episode when we talk about the predictions for this upcoming weekend. So, guys, it's an important weekend. If they lose the first one, they're done for the season. If they lose the second one, they're done for the season with the championship right in front of them. So, what's going to happen this weekend against Mercyhurst and then against whoever they may come up against? And let's just try to throw a prediction to who the championship game is going to be.
I would like to interrupt before we give our predictions and say that no matter what does happen, will we be back? I'm asking you, Greg, will we be back next week to wrap up the season and close? I imagine that we will be.
Absolutely.
I imagine that we have to do one last episode. But the other thing I would like to point out is that Mike and I are actually going to Roch Vegas. And
Vegas,
we will
baby.
Be there. Able to bring back some insight onto their play and, you know, actually watch them and take notes and see what's going on in this
do
big
journalism.
Stage.
Do journalism. Which
is exciting. Actually do journalism.
However,
yeah.
I want to throw in a quick little snippet about the other game, Air Force and Canisius. I want Air Force to win. I want to see a rematch of last year's game, and I want to see the Colonials rise up and conquer.
I would be interested in that.
I would be interested, but I would, from a Robert Morris winning the AHC championship perspective, I would much rather go against Canisius than Air Force.
I would much rather see that also. But yet again, this team, the seniors that were juniors, want the revenge.
The seniors that were juniors. The sophomores seniors, that were freshmen. The juniors freshmen that were sophomores.
The freshmen that were juniors.
Even I'm sure the seniors that graduated would like to see their former teammates rise up and beat Air Force. You know, Christopoulos is good, but I think
the Colonials right now are better than Christopoulos.
I do. And that's why predictions for me. Well, Greg, let's go around the table.
Let's just take a quick guess about what it's going to be.
Guess.
I'm guessing we're all going to say. No, it's a
are
prediction.
We, are we going to say scores? Can we say scores?
You can say scores. I want to make a prediction about our predictions.
Okay.
Ooh, double prediction.
Are we going to be
double
right or wrong?
Double prediction.
I'm guessing everybody here is going to say they're going to the finals. Right? Is that right? Can I make that assumption?
Can
I make that prediction? I'll take them.
He's taking them to the finals. Matt, are you in?
I've found it hard to bet against this team the whole season. I'm going to ride with them two more times. I'm taking them to lift the trophy.
I think
they're peaking.
So they're beating Mercyhurst. What's the score in Mercyhurst game?
The Mercyhurst game,
3-2.
For me, 4-3.
4-3.
4-3.
I got a 3-2.
Maybe 5-3 with an empty netter.
Okay,
we're going to Roch Vegas, can we actually bet on the games?
I don't know if we can do that right now.
It is Roch Vegas.
You could definitely make that off the air.
We can do it. No, we can do it in Roch Vegas though. In Vegas.
So you're gonna roll everybody's rolling the dice on the Colonials winning the first round against Mercyhurst.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen versus Canisius and Air Force? Who's going to the championship game versus Robert Morris?
I would like to watch a rematch between Air Force and Robert Morris. I don't know if my heart could take a rematch between Air Force and Robert Morris, but I feel like it would be an interesting game. But I feel like if we're talking strictly like we want the Colonials to win here, then I want to see Canisius. I really do.
But I don't know if Canisius will beat Air Force because Canisius has been on a bit of a rocky path the past few weeks here. Remember, they were in first place for a little bit. They had a decent lead. Then they ended up not being able to post a point for a while. And they just had a little bit of a problem. Even AIC last weekend, they destroyed them. They won 8-1 in the first game and then ended up losing the second game. And then they won 3-0 in the final game of that series to make it to Roch Vegas, of course. But I think I'm going to have to go with the Air Force Falcons over the Golden Griffins of Canisius.
I'm going to have to say the same. I definitely think it's going to be a rematch of last year's AHC Championship with Air Force being able to defeat Canisius. This it'll be the 16th. So with that being said, the championship game, do or die. Colonials got shunned last year of the championship by Air Force. And me and Mike's predictions, I'm going to have to say Robert Morris is going to go 0-2 against Air Force in the championship. I'm not going to give a score. I just have a feeling that Air Force
is... Give a score, Greg. Give a score.
I'm going to have to say 4-2 Air Force. It's going to be a rough loss for the Colonials. I just feel that like Robert Morris right now, after losing those two games against them there towards the end of the regular season, I don't think they're going to have quite enough gas to finish the job out against the Falcons of Air Force.
I am going to make a very, very, very bold prediction.
Bold prediction alert.
With someone who didn't get to play last year in the AHC Finals, I am calling a 2-0 Robert Morris victory over Air Force. I'm also calling that Mike Loria...
Pause.
Realistically, I'm not sure what's going to happen in that game. I would like it to be Air Force for entertaining value. So I'm going to pick that one. But I would pick Robert Morris 2-0, and I'm calling that Mike Loria has one of the goals.
Changing up predictions and stuff over there. I can't believe it. Anyhow, Mike, you can go ahead.
I'm going to go with a bold prediction as well, possibly even bolder. That might be for the viewers at home to decide.
Be bold.
I am going to be bold. I'm going to say 4-1 Colonials
in
the championship.
I think there's bold, and then there's just talking on the radio, and I think you're doing the second Mike.
Hold on. The way the offense has been playing, the Air Force offense really doesn't scare me too much. They beat us 1-0 and 2-2, but the way the defense is playing now, I don't think I'm not too afraid of their offense, and I think they're going to be all out on the offensive end, the Colonials, and I think they're going to hit up Kostopoulos few times. I think the fourth one will be an empty netter, though. So realistically, 3-1, and then they'll seal it off with the empty netter, making it 4-1. Greg's doing math in his head right now.
So 3-1 in the third period.
Yes.
They're gonna pull Kostopoulos.
Is gonna pour. Yes.
And Robert Morris is gonna capitalize. Okay. Nope. I got you.
Yep.
Okay.
It's rocket science. I know how empty netters work, Greg.
For me, everything's rocket science. I don't know why. I just overcomplicate things. But we're gonna have to wait and see how these predictions play out. It's all in the hands of Derek Schooley and his squad this weekend.
In Schooley we trust.
In Schooley we trust. But that's all we have for you for Yins this week, as I would like to say. But it's all in the hands of Schooley and the Colonial squad without their captain, Bonger. So we're going to have to wrap it up for this week, and we'll see you guys next week with the results. As always, I'm Greg Sutton.
I'm Michael Schooley.
And I'm Matt Simkovic.
And this has been Off the Pipe.